heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you. And if you are listening on Friday night, I hope you are out with someone special, because you know what today is, right? I hope you haven't forgotten already, because if you're listening to the show, it's between 9 and 10 p.m., so you better have not forgotten. There's a few places that are still open. It's a special day, right? It's the day of St. Cyril and Methodius, right? You know it. You love it, and you celebrate that brotherhood, that kinship between these two wonderful saints who transformed the faith in the Slavic countries, right? Okay, it's also Valentine's Day. I'll give you that. All right. So my encouragement to you, even if you're listening on Saturday or Sunday, that this Valentine's Day weekend, maybe you're away with that special someone for this whole weekend. My encouragement to you is, let's make this Valentine's Day about love, but let's make it about agape rather than eros, right? Now, eros is a, both of those are Greek terms, of course, which we translate love. Eros is, there's a place for eros within the marriage relationship and everything. And St. John Paul II even was talking about how this initial attraction that occurs between a man and a woman is, it's fundamentally needed in order to continue on down this walk that leads to marriage and family, right? So it's needed. But let's focus on loving the other as God loves us, on that agape, that willful love, making a decision specifically to love the other person. And how do we do that? Well, let's take some cues from our Sunday gospel this week. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what Jesus says. He says, whoever's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. That's what he says. He's laying down some pretty strict rules here. Then he goes on to say, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Yeah, and if that's not enough, then he closes that section off with saying, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. And so getting angry, especially things like fits of rage and wrath towards another person, maybe specifically the person that you share a bed with, that you're married to, right? Lust and looking at another person as if they were just an object, so objectifying the other person that's just for your own gratification of your own desires. And, skimping on your vows. Those things are things that can really eat away at the relationships that we have, specifically with the people we are closest to, which I think in many cases for our listeners would be a husband or a wife. And so we need to be on our guard, and Jesus is warning us about that. Now, here's, I think, where the real trick comes in, is that these things cannot be fulfilled simply through an exercise of our own will. Our own will is an absolute necessity. We need to be able to say yes, that these are things I want to abide by. I don't want to get overly angry with another person. I don't want to objectify others by looking on them with lust in my heart. And I don't want to take a false oath. I want to make good to the Lord all that I have vowed, specifically maybe in your wedding vows. We need to say yes to all those things. But even prior to all that, we need to say yes to Jesus, to the working of the Lord in our heart, because it's His grace that enables us then to carry out all these things. I know, just I need to look no further than my own life to see places where I don't welcome that grace in, and I try to do things on my own. That's exactly where the enemy gets in, and he, you know, gives me all these temptations one way or another, whether it's through anger, whether it's through lust, whether it's through bearing false witness or taking false oaths, whatever it may be, and then I fall. Well, thank God that we have a God, who has died for our redemption and the forgiveness of our sins, and thank God for the sacrament of reconciliation, because we are meant to be reconciled. We are meant to be reconciled with God and also to one another. And so it is important for us to live out that willful love in our lives. And I'll make you this wager. If you dedicate not just Valentine's Day weekend, but actually your entire married life to living out agape, to willfully loving the other person, willing the good of the other as other, then you will have a marriage that has a good chance of enduring through all sorts of trials. And so start practicing now. Start doing it now, right? Do it and ask, invoke the Lord's grace, invoke the Lord to be working in and through you, and then do it. Love the other as other. And just a reminder that Jesus fulfills the law. That's what he starts his gospel with. That's what he starts our gospel with today, is that he fulfills that law. So really the fulfillment of all that law is found in him and in his grace. All right, so that's what that's my encouragement to you today. What we've got coming up on the program, we're going to start with Sean and Kim Doyle, who are going to tell us a little bit about Retrovi, which for those of you who have ailing marriages, this might be a wonderful thing for you to consider to help mend that, to help the reconciliation process to begin or to continue. Then a little bit later on, we'll have Michael and Jane Marie Reef, who are with us to talk about Curcio. And if you haven't heard about Curcio, you need to hear about Curcio. And if you have heard about Curcio, then you need to hear about Curcio. So stay tuned for that. And then a little bit later on, or actually near the end of the program, Cami Berthium, you've heard me mention her name as our new producer. We're going to do a little get-to-know-you session with her at the end of the program. That's what we got coming up. And as always, let's pause here at the top of the show, dedicating the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joining me now in studio, Sean and Kim Doyle. They are past coordinators of Twin Cities Retrovi and regional support and development and coordinators. They've also served on the Retrovi International Board, responsible for expansion and development for the U.S. and Canada, and the Retrovi International Advisory Committee. They have 3 adult children, 6 grandchildren, and they love spending time with their family. Sean and Kim, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick.
It's great to have you with us again. So let's start with Retrovi. It's a weird French-looking word. What does it mean? Where does it come from? And how did it get started?
So Retrovi is a French word for rediscovery.
Ooh, I like it. It fits right in with the theme.
It's excellent. And so Retrovi came to the United States from Canada several years ago, and it has expanded significantly throughout the U.S. and actually throughout the world. It is a wonderful ministry. It's all done by couples who have been through the program, so they have suffered in their marriage and have found Retrovi and found ways to heal that relationship, and now are bringing that to these other couples. The other important thing to remember is that Retrovi came from Marriage Encounter, actually. So some of the things that are taught in Marriage Encounter are also brought to the Retrovi program as well. But Marriage Encounter found that couples were coming to their program that were hurting a little bit more and needed something more than Marriage Encounter. And so that's where it started.
Okay. And now where did you first come upon as a couple? Where did you first come upon Retrovi? How did you first hear about it? Kim?
Well, that was we just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
This year.
That's
so
amazing.
It's great. And at 18 years, I had asked Sean for a divorce. Hmm. Our 3 children were teenagers at the time. We had tried secular counseling and counseling with a priest, and nothing was working. And I basically I was thrown in the towel. I was done. And I went to church one day, and in the bulletin, I saw a bulletin announcement that said, "Is your marriage in trouble?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Mm. And considering divorce, sure I am. And it said, before you do this, give Retrify a chance. So I called and got information on the program. And, you know, I really didn't think anything was going to help me. But the one thing that encouraged me was when I spoke to the person on the phone, they said that help doesn't help. It doesn't end at the end of the weekend, that there's ongoing support. And so to me, I knew what we had tried before, and I think that was the missing link for me, is I needed something that was going to continue, somebody that was going to continue to hold my hand and walk me through the process. And learning that it was a peer ministry, couples that had also been in that misery stage of their marriage, and that the tools they learned through this program saved their marriage and their family, gave me a little, just a little bit of hope, enough to just ask Sean at least if he would go.
And Sean, obviously you said yes, you would go.
I did. And I think the important part for us was we really came out of the weekend just a bit overwhelmed at what it had done for us, and knew that we needed to give back. And so thus why we became involved. And so we did write some of the talks, as well as have been involved in the leadership positions that you had mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So, and really for us, I think that was a big piece of reconciling our relationship, was actually giving back. And it's so much more rewarding for us having given back than actually receiving. Mm-hmm. So that was an important part of our reconciliation.
And this, if I'm doing my math correctly, this was 22 years ago.
That's right. That's
correct.
Right.
So it seems to have worked.
Yeah. We always said we hit a milestone when we were married more years after Retrovi than before.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
And the blessings of being able to be a better example for our children in what our marriage should look like, mm-hmm. and how we should be treating each other with that agape love, like mm-hmm. you spoke about. And that love is a decision. Every day you wake up, love is a decision. And that is just life-changing, to start to treat each other that way and to ask God to be back a part of our life. We were married in the Catholic Church. We totally let go of that piece. Mm. And that is a huge component. I mean, that's the saving grace. Mm-hmm. And we needed that saving grace.
Yeah. Well, we all do.
Yeah.
There, but for the grace of God, go I believe is how the phrase goes. Yeah. So if it's been that long that you've been back in, you know, reconciled, what is it? So it's just, so I've got the structure down. It's a weekend, right? Retrovi is a weekend with ongoing support, as you mentioned, Kim.
There's actually 6 follow-up sessions that happen after the weekend. So the couples learn quite a bit on the weekend. And the 6 follow-up sessions are structured to really support and teach more about what the couples learned on the weekend.
That's good, yeah.
And so those are the follow-ups. And then beyond that, there's also, depending on the community, there may be a monthly or twice monthly, what they call core, which is continuing our Retrovi experience. Mm. So there are meetings monthly where couples can come together and share experiences and meet with other couples that are going through the same process in reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So that's where that support comes in. But it is a weekend, and then 6 follow-up sessions, and then there's core after that.
Nice. Yeah. So I'm curious about it, because you said, Sean, earlier that it has come, Retrovi came out of the marriage encounter, but they were really finding that there's, for people who had really hurting marriages, it wasn't quite deep enough to speak to some of the core issues that they were facing. So who is Retrovi for? What would you say to that?
Retrovi is for couples who are disillusioned in their marriage, who think that there's no hope in moving forward and no reason to stay together. Mm-hmm. It can help everyone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there's no one that couldn't benefit from the program. If you're anxious about your marriage relationship, people who you're feeling alone or you're distant from your partner, I just know that Sean and I, we weren't even in separate, we were always in separate spaces in the house, not even in the same bedroom. Mm. And, you know, you felt lonely.
Yeah.
And that was terrible. If you're bored with your marriage, or you're disillusioned and you think, oh man, where's the romance in here? Well, you know, you can reignite that, let me tell you. It's great. And the communication, we had no communication. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely horrible. And we needed to learn how. These aren't things that we just learn from our family. You know, we talk about family of origin, and we've only been exposed to certain things, and that's all we know. So we have to learn a new way together, and that is, and we need to learn the right way. And this was what we were taught, and it's beautiful.
If I could add, I think Pope Benedict said it best in when we were in Rome, and he said, Retrovi offers hope.
Hmm.
It really offers couples hope. And so those were just, that really describes it pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of his comments, I mean, it was beautiful. In 2008, there was a group of Retrovi people that had a private audience with the Pope during our international meeting, and we were blessed to be a part of that. And he said, it's, you know, you as people who have gone through the program need to pass on this hope, because the people who are so miserable, they can't muster up that hope by themselves. And I remember being that person. And if it was not for those people who handed it to me and then held my hand and pushed me a lot to keep going, we wouldn't be here.
It's a great testimony too, isn't it, of the need for the other members of the body of Christ, of the need for that you're not, even as lonely as you might feel, that there are others who are there, they're ready to help you, they're ready to support you, they're ready to push you where you need pushing in order to, well, as I said in the opening, make good the vow that you've made before the Lord.
Yeah, and yes. I know when we were going through the misery in our marriage, I pulled away from everything, from mm-hmm. church, from my friends, mm-hmm. from my family. I isolated myself because I was so miserable, and, you know, I was miserable to be around. But going through Retrovi, you realize that these people, you change. You surround yourself with people who are working on their marriage. We had to let go of some of our friendships that weren't healthy for us.
Mm.
And so to have that new set of friends who we are supporting each other and holding each other up and keeping each other moving in the right direction, it's exactly what God wanted us to be, in a community of support like that.
So Retrovi has been going on for a long time, and it's an international offering, right?
Correct.
Obviously,
yes.
Through you've served on international boards, so obviously.
Yes.
Any thought as to how many couples owe the salvation of their marriage to God's working through the specific?
It's thousands. It's saved thousands throughout the world.
Yeah.
We keep couples' privacy is important, obviously, and so we don't necessarily track it per se. But I can assure you that there are thousands
right.
of couples that have been helped.
Well, here locally, Retrovi happens. Is there one coming up or on the calendar, on the schedule?
There is. They've got, the Twin Cities has a community, and they have 6 weekends each year.
Okay.
And there's one coming up the weekend of April 3rd through 5th.
Okay.
And so we can give the information on,
yeah,
on how they can contact. The interesting thing is we have a 1-800 number for Retrovi, and if you call that number, it will get you to the closest community to you in the United States. So if you're in Illinois and you call that number, it's going to give you that Illinois community.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to attend a weekend somewhere else, you certainly can do that. And you can look up the weekends if you go to the website, and it's Retrovi, RetrovILLE.
Thank you for spelling it.
.org. Or you can simply put in helpourmarriage.org.
Okay. That's probably an easier one to remember. Helpourmarriage.org. Okay.
And the phone number mm-hmm. is 1-800-470-2230.
800-470-2230. I just, one of the things that you said, Kim, was specifically that you saw this ad in the bulletin that just spoke to right where you were. By the way, all of you who are bulletin editors and put out bulletins, it works. And you saw this ad, and it spoke to who you were, and even, like you said, it was just maybe a sliver of hope that you had, but you still picked up the phone and made the call. What would you say, both of you, I would like you both to weigh in this, to somebody who may be listening right now, who's in that very state, who needs to pick up the phone and make the call, They may know it in their soul, but there's probably a lot of forces, especially of the enemy, who are working against them right now. What would you say to them, Sean?
I would say make the call. Oftentimes, couples have been in the situation they're in for quite some time, and to sacrifice or to attend one weekend for the salvation of your marriage is worth the time. So make the call. And sometimes a spouse may not be willing to go or is hesitant. And I would, again, it's an investment of one weekend to see if your marriage relationship can be changed.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Kim, what would you say?
Yeah, I would exactly say the same thing. We've had so many people that have called, and it's hard because they're just so hopeless, or one is really, really adamant about wanting to save the marriage and the other one's already moved on. And that's kind of where I was. I was ready to move on. And I had my plan of action. But if we can get there, the Holy Spirit will work, and just let God work on the other. So if they're open to coming, just come. And Sean and you can ask for separate rooms. That's okay, too.
Okay,
so,
that's good to
know. Yep. Because some people are not even, we've had people who are divorced who have come through the program and remarried. And
wow.
I'm telling you, it's powerful. Yeah. It's so powerful to watch that transformation. So don't not go. I mean, you just got to give it that one chance. And then just talk about, we'll reevaluate after the weekend. Let's just do this and then reevaluate after the weekend, because that's where we were. And I'll tell you, we've attended all three of our children's weddings. We were enjoying our grandchildren and our family. And every time there's an anniversary, a birthday, a holiday, I get very emotional because the line was in the sand that weekend, and I could have pulled the plug and gone the other way, and our picture would not look the same. It's worth it. Just give it a try.
One weekend. It is definitely worth it. Yeah, and maybe I'm sure that there's obstacles like, you know, pride and things that get in the way that just say, and you were saying, Kim, how you just cut yourself off from all these other places, you know, and just, it just takes a phone call. It just takes dialing those, 11 numbers on your phone, or actually with a cell phone, you can make it 10, right? You don't even have to dial the one first. So 800-470-2230, that's the number to call. Well, I appreciate the work that you've done with Retrovi. I appreciate you being so honest with us in sharing of your own experience. I'm sure that's borne much fruit as you continue to, I assume you tell that story quite a bit.
Yeah. Yes, we do. We do. And we're happy to share with anybody. I mean, when we made our weekend, some people come off the weekend and they're nervous about telling people that they went for help and that they sought some program to enrich their marriage or to help them move forward. We, on the other hand, were like, let's shout this from the rooftop, because no one should be as miserable as we were for all those years, nor should we be putting our families through this. Mm-hmm. And that was more of our heart, that we wanted to just get out there and let people know there is another option. And the sooner you go, the sooner you're going to be on the right path, on a healthy path.
Amen to that. Wow. Well, I wish we had more time, but unfortunately we've reached the end of our segment. But thank you so much again for being so honest, so open, and encouraging others. Retrovi, make the call. Go to the website, either retrovi.org or Help Our Marriage. Did I get that right?
Yes.
HelpOurMarriage.org or 800-470-2230. All right, so that's Sean and Kim Doyle. Thank you so much again for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you in your continued work in this important vocation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Pray for marriages, right? If you're married, pray for your own marriage and the marriages of others. If you're not married, pray for holy marriages in and around you and in your parish community. We're going to go into a break, and when we've come back, we've got Michael and Jane Marie Reef who are going to talk to us about Curcio. Stay with us.
Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Come with your light and fill up my heart.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Michael and Jane Marie Reif are with me right now, here to talk to us about Curcio. Michael is a senior product engineer for Bergquist, which is a Henkel company in Prescott, Wisconsin. Jane Marie is an agile coach working with software team for SureScripts in Minneapolis. They're both Third Order Franciscans belonging to the St. Thomas More fraternity, and they have been part of Twin Cities Curcio since 2010. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
It's good to have you both on and talking about Curcio. So we just heard about Retrovi, which is a French word. Now, Curcio doesn't sound to me like it has English origins either. Where does the word Curcio come from?
No, it doesn't. Curcio is origins come from Spain. Back in the 1940s, there was a young man, Eduardo Bonin, who felt a little concerned for a lot of his friends at that time. He was praying to the Holy Spirit, and he was given the gift by the Holy Spirit of charism, which became known as Curcio. So that's where the word comes from. It's Spanish, and in fact, many of the words we use within our Curcio movement are also of Spanish origin.
Okay.
Curcio actually means a short course.
Short course.
Oh, there you go. A little course in Christianity.
I was going to say, a short course in what?
Christianity.
That's good. That's good. Okay. So give us an idea of what Curcio, what is it, how does one... What happens at Curcio? What is Curcio?
Well, Curcio is a movement. It's a lay movement within the Catholic Church, and it's I would describe it as a 3-day weekend. It's an encounter that begins as an encounter with yourself. It moves into an encounter with Christ, and then finishes as an encounter with others. We conduct it starting on a Thursday evening. It runs through Sunday.
We have spiritual directors who are on the weekend. There's always a priest and a deacon who are part of the weekend as spiritual directors. And then there's a team of 25 to 30 people who work together to prepare for the weekend for the 6 weeks prior to the weekend.
Wow.
And lay people are giving talks that are designed for the Curcio weekend. They're an outline that we follow, and then we each give our own personal testimony that brings that to a real personal place in the weekend.
Is it okay to break open a little bit of what you were saying before, Michael, about it being an encounter with yourself and then an encounter with Christ and then an encounter with others? Can you flesh that out a little bit for us?
The talks that Jane Marie mentioned, talks on the first day, are more focused on your own self, what is your position and what's your current status and your relationship with Christ.
Okay.
And actually, these talks over the course of the 3 days, you could consider it one long talk.
Okay.
Broken up into segments and delivered by different members of the Curcio team. The second day, the talks are more focused on your relationship with Christ. It goes into more of the sacraments. And the third day, brings in the concept of the rest of the community, of the friendship base, and of going out into the world and taking your relationship with Christ into your life.
Now, Curcio is a retreat weekend, but from what I understand, you don't necessarily go away to a retreat center for it. Is that right?
No, we hold the weekends at parishes throughout the Archdiocese.
Okay.
So it rotates from one parish to another. And our accommodations are just top of the line. We have cots, and we're usually a gym at a school, or we might be in a large gathering room.
Okay, so let me just say that might cause a little bit of somebody listening might say, I'm not doing that. What are the benefits of staying together throughout the entirety of the weekend, rather than say going home or staying at a retreat center where you have your own little room and that sort of thing?
Well, Curcio weekends are sometimes held at retreat centers.
Okay.
So we offer it both ways, depending on the location. Throughout the U.S., many of the other archdioceses might use retreat centers because they have them readily available. In the Twin Cities, we found that we can keep the cost down for all of us, but we also have that community of coming together, being cloistered together, and enjoying the time, the conversation. A lot of it is the conversations that happen in the hallway, that happen over a meal that's shared. We enjoy the sacraments together. We have Mass each day, and it's just really a very deep and rich experience. And it's educational, because it is a little course in Christianity. Each talk is teaching us something about God's grace, about the sacraments, about piety, study, and action, which are kind of a cornerstone of what we work together to help each other with as we go forward. We form small groups, and we have monthly meetings where the small groups come together at a monthly meeting called an altreia. So
another non-English word, it sounds
another
like.
Another non-English word, but altreia means onward,
okay,
to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to encourage each other to go forward, to go out in the world and bring others to Christ, because the core message of Crucio is God, through Christ, loves us. He loves us, and that is the difference.
Amen.
And we want to share that with others. Christ counts on us to share that message with others.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's what we're all about here at the Rediscover Hour, so it fits well in with that. Now, my understanding is, based on what you were telling me before, is that typically you get invited on a Crucio weekend by a friend. That's the way it's meant to happen or designed to happen. Have I got that right, Michael?
Yes. In fact, that's kind of how Crucio spread from Majorca to the five continents of the world and into America, was people who had experienced Crucio and then moved to another location wanted it in their new location also. It started in Texas. It spread across the country. Our Twin Cities Crucio came up from Iowa. It was brought in by Bishop Dudley in the 1960s, just over 50 years ago. Mm. In fact, we celebrated a 50-year anniversary this past fall.
Yeah. But it's centered around that friend-to-friend, which I respect
is.
That. It sounds like it's very communally focused, and it's very much, it's reliant upon others to spread the good news, even through an invitation to a weekend.
Yes. So when it was first brought to the Twin Cities, of course, there wasn't anybody here who knew about Crucio.
Sure.
So the first weekends, priests would recommend parishioners for the weekends in small groups, people who would form small groups together. So it's okay to come to invite a small group of people on a Crucio weekend, and then they can form their friendship groups. But over the years, initially, of course, there was weekends one and two, and now we are hosting here in February weekends 375 and 376. So thousands of people have enjoyed this experience in the Twin Cities.
How many people usually come on a Crucio weekend?
Usually it's about 20 candidates per weekend. It might be a little bit less or a little bit more depending on the weekend.
And these can be couples, singles?
Yes.
That's one point we didn't mention yet, is a Crucio weekend is actually two weekends. We'll have the men attend the first weekend, and then 1 to 2 weekends later, we'll have the women come together. And the really funny part is if you're one of the men who tend to be maybe a little bit more hesitant than their wives.
Okay.
Once the weekend is over, now you got to keep your mouth shut. Don't spill the beans.
Sworn to secrecy.
Let your wife enjoy and experience the weekend on her own without expectations ahead of time for what you thought was really great about it.
I remember when we went on our weekends, we went because our closest friends asked us to. And we said, well, they're going to keep asking us unless we just go on this weekend. So we're going to go on this weekend.
It's like the widow and the unjust judge,
yes,
right? I'm just going to keep knocking until he gives me the judgment I need. Yeah. Okay.
So we went on the weekend. And when Michael came back from his weekend, he's fairly introverted. And I just couldn't picture how he was going to enjoy that weekend. He came back just lit by the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
Just happy and joyful. And I'm like, what just happened to you? I'm not sure I want to do
this.
He said,
I can't tell you.
So No, we can share everything about the weekend. There isn't anything secret about Curcio. It's just we want to let people experience the weekend.
So. I think that makes total sense. Sometimes I think the worst thing you can do going into a retreat weekend or a pilgrimage or a mission trip or something like that is to have expectations, because when your expectations might not be met, or at least not met in the way that you thought they would be met, then you can mistakenly think, well, God wasn't really in it. But yeah, so I understand. I understand the don't talk about it to kind of brew up people's expectations in a particular way. Yeah.
So now when you go on a Curcio weekend, when you're invited by a friend who sponsors you on that weekend. Your friend is praying for you. They're praying for you through the weekend. And they're going to help you become part of the Curcio community after the weekend. Bring you to their Altrea, bring you to their small group.
Nice.
And that's the way the community has grown over the years.
And since we've done 350 plus of these Curcio weekends here locally, how often is Curcio offered locally?
We're currently offering a set of weekends twice a year.
Twice a year. All right.
And so it is for couples, it is for singles. It's for anyone who wants to deepen their relationship with Jesus and be part of a great friendship community where we can support each other, we can talk about our faith, we can talk about our struggles of being Catholics out in this very secular world.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we liken it to an Acts of the Apostles community where it's just a very close space. What we learn in our Curcio movement is how we go out into our own environments, our own churches, our places of work, and we learn how can we share and be Christ? How can we get that message that God through Christ loves us and carry that out through our environments that we're part of?
Love the focus. So I'm guessing that there's a Curcio website or a place where people can find out more about it. Is that right?
There is a website, tccurcio.org.
Okay.
TC-Curcio.
Oh, that's good. Yep.
And there's also, with all members of the fourth day, and fourth day just means someone who's gone through the three-day weekend. So
okay.
Once you're done, you're on your fourth day. Most every parish in the Twin Cities has Curcistas attending the church, and in most cases, we also have what's called a parish ambassador, which is like a local contact at any one church.
Sure.
So if you are interested in the idea and you want to talk about making a Curcio weekend, you could call the ambassador. They could put you in touch with someone who could function as your sponsor.
Right.
And the job of the sponsor, as Jean Marie said, is to become friends with you, to lead you through the process, to help you stay engaged afterwards. One of the things that Curcio is very strong on is having continuing activities afterwards. We've got grouping on a weekly basis, the Altrea word, which is on a monthly basis. We have other events throughout the course of the year, a fourth day encounter several times a year, a summer picnic, evenings of renewal, just more opportunities to get back and see people in the Curcio community who you don't see on a regular weekly basis, just going to church.
And because we come back really invigorated, many times our Curcistas are becoming more engaged and more involved in their local parishes.
Oh, did you hear that, pastors? They're becoming more engaged in their local parishes. All right, so we've only got a few seconds left, but I did want to ask, since Jamie, you said of Michael that he came back just lit by the Holy Spirit and happy and inspired and that sort of thing. Michael, how did Jane Marie come back from her weekend?
She came back and all of a sudden she understood just how I felt so enthused.
Mm.
And my own personal takeaway from the weekend was I'd grown up Catholic, went to schools. We had a Bible study on Sunday evenings. But all of a sudden, when our friends came over and said, we have this Curcio activity that we want to invite you to, like a little light bulb went on. It's like a weekend retreat with Christian men faithful to Jesus. It's like, I'm in. It didn't take 2 seconds to convince me. I was on board right away.
That's great. Jane Marie, similar experience did you have to think about it a little bit more?
Well, anything that would help my husband get a little more engaged was a great thing.
God bless
me.
Our wives. Let me just say it.
And and it's been a good thing to do together, to be part of this community. I was amazed that we were called recently to be lay directors for the Twin Cities Curcio community. And each time we've been called into a position, it's been a letting go, a surrendering, and answering the call from the Holy Spirit. And we pray for the people who will take over our role in 2 years, and trust that the Holy Spirit will bring what the community needs.
Sounds like the work of the Lord, all right. Well, Michael and Jane Marie Reed, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour and talking about this important apostolate, Curcio, and how it continues to do good work in and amongst the church today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, too. Happy to
be here,
Patrick.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to get to know Cami Berthume, who's our producer and the newest addition to the Office of Evangelization. Stay with us. Rediscover.
How we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I gotta go and I gotta get rid of my sin, because if I don't, then I'm gonna be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession now. And a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show, because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with, I'm going to change it up, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And our producer for the last few months now has been Cami Berthume, who joins me now as our next guest. Cami is a young adult. She's married to Ryan for nearly 6 months now. She's an intern with the Office of Evangelization. She's a member of St. Raphael's in Crystal, and yeah, she's also the owner of her own business. I don't know if we're going to get to all this in our interview, but Cami, great to have you on this side of the mic.
Yeah, I know. It's a little weird, but I love it.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. All right, so first of all, help listeners to understand who you are. So give us a little bit of your own history, where you grew up, and where you went to school, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I grew up going to St. Odelia, which we actually just had Jenny Schaff on to talk
last
about
week we
St.
had
Odelia.
Her.
Yeah. So I went there for K through, or second grade, I guess, through eight, and I ended up going to Totino Grace for high school. So I've gone through the whole Catholic education system, which I'm so grateful for, looking back for that. And then afterwards, I went to the University of Minnesota with my then boyfriend, now husband. So we both were blessed to be able to go through college together and continue to develop our relationship there.
Yeah.
We got married in August of 2019, so it's almost 6 months, mid-February, and that's been a huge joy so far.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
6 months, that's great.
Yeah, it's been great.
Longest journey begins with a single step, right?
Yeah,
that's what
totally.
They say. All right, so just if it's not getting too personal, where was your faith in all of this? Like, how did your faith grow and change throughout your early life?
Yeah, so I'm really, really grateful for my parents. My mom particularly had a very strong faith, and she was a great role model to all four of us growing up, so I'm the oldest of four siblings.
You don't come across as an only, or as an oldest child.
I don't.
No.
I don't know if it's a good or bad thing.
No,
but,
well, I can't say anything, because otherwise we're going to get calls either way,
right,
so I'm
not
going to say anything more. Anyway.
But yeah, so she was a great example to us, and I've tried to be a great example to my younger siblings as well, but I credit her for a lot of my faith throughout my childhood growing up. There still was a little bit of almost a disconnect, though, especially in high school. I didn't really feel like it was, you know, the Catholic faith wasn't for me yet. I kind of had that disconnect. but I met my husband in high school, and at that point we both were kind of a little bit distant in our spiritual lives from where we wanted to be. It actually ended up being our freshman year of college when we were going through the whole discernment process of, like, are we working towards marriage? Like, what's the next step for us?
Sure.
We both realized having a foundation in the faith is really going to be the only thing that is going to be lasting. You know, not the good looks or the friendship or the sense of humor, which are all great things and great components of a healthy relationship. But we realized our faith is really where we need to, you know, grow
from. Jesus at the core.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Yep.
So we kind of just decided to go hand in hand, starting at the bottom, work from there.
What did that mean for you?
Yeah, that just started. I mean, like, I had never been involved in youth ministry things. Ryan had been really involved at St. Raphael's, our current parish. Mm-hmm. So he kind of had a background there. My first experience with evangelization actually was our freshman year of college, when we were invited by one of our best friends now, Anna Sherber, and the other young adults were creating a young adult group called The Journey. So they invited us to attend. So that was kind of my firsthand experience with evangelization. And wow. Part of why I'm passionate about it now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Knowing the fruits of it, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Say more about that. Obviously, well, let's take it historically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, somehow you came across this this information that the Office of Evangelization was looking for an intern.
Yeah.
And where did you come across that? Mm-hmm. And what made you decide to apply?
Yeah. So it was kind of near the end of my whole college career. I still was, you know, that typical college student that still didn't really know what they wanted to do, even though it was getting towards the end of their college career. So I had been job searching, and I came across this opportunity on one of the job search sites for the Office of Evangelization. They were hiring an intern. And for the last couple of years, I was discerning where the Lord was calling me career-wise. And I came to the conclusion, you know, I think right now it's working for the church, whatever that may be. I didn't know what that meant. I knew that this was what I'm passionate about. This is, I don't know, I can give our faith and the Lord credit for everything that I am today, who I am today, all the people and opportunities he's brought to my life. So I decided to apply for this internship, and I was blessed to meet Crystal and Susanna, and mm-hmm. we just hit it off, and yeah, I guess the rest is history. So, well, here we are now.
Right, yeah. And you kind of got thrown into the deep end of the pool, if I may mm-hmm. say so, mm-hmm. because Susanna Parent, our beloved producer of, well, my producer for mm-hmm. so many years, and then even prior to me when Jeff Cavins was the host of the show. And I know that she did so much behind the scenes work in putting together each and every program. And mm-hmm. then, and we'll have her on to say goodbye to her. But mm-hmm. basically, she and her husband have a new daughter. Mm-hmm. And so she decided in maternity leave that, yep, I'm mm-hmm. I'm going to focus on my vocation of being a mother, which right. is fantastic.
Right.
But then that means that the whole rigmarole of producing the show, which does take a lot of behind the scenes work, kind of landed on your desk, Tammy.
Yeah,
so,
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about what that experience has been like. I'm putting you on the spot
in
front of the mic. Like, are there things that you really enjoy about it?
And, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I've never done any production or anything, so that was kind of just a learning curve, figuring out how the whole behind-the-scenes stuff works. So luckily, I had a lot of help along the way from both other members of the office, Crystal, our director, you know, Paul, have all been great to work with and give me advice, and Mary May. Mm-hmm.
it's a group effort. It really
is. It really is a group effort. Yeah. I didn't know there was so much that went into producing a show, and I'm sure the same is, you know, for all the Relevant Radio shows. I've always loved Relevant Radio. So to be able to actually work with Relevant Radio and the Rediscover Hour now, is a dream come true.
Right.
It's been very cool. So yeah, it's a lot of, working with you, figuring out who would be a good fit for the show, you know, events going on in the Archdiocese, programs, ministries that we'd like to get out, the word out to listeners and everything, contacting those people and letting the Holy Spirit work
right.
through us and,
yeah.
and do all the rest.
Yeah. He has to do all the time, but
right, right.
yeah, but in some particular times, let me just say, he has come through in some really big mm-hmm. ways for all of us. So we are grateful for that.
Yeah.
Certainly in the way that he continues to work. So
yeah.
that's wonderful. All right. So I don't want to let you go without getting on to your own business, because I didn't really even discover this about you until we became Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And then I noticed you had a page
yeah.
that was about cookies.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So I have my own business. It's actually more of like a passion project turned business.
Ooh, I like that passion project. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
It's called Cookies by CJ. I started it in the fall of 2018, kind of on a whim. It was my junior year, I think. No, it was my senior year of college. I'd always known that I loved, cupcake wars and all those fun things on like Food Network and everything. And I have this creative side that I wanted to somehow foster as a form of evangelization. So I do cookies, like custom cookies for birthdays. I love doing stuff to celebrate the sacraments, so like baptisms, confirmations. I've had a wedding that I've catered, which has been a really cool experience. And wow. I do it all out of my apartment. So I'm licensed and everything. It's very official. So don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to work with people and to evangelize through that, you know, through the social media, through what I produce.
I was going to say, so you do have this page on Facebook. So mm-hmm. if people just go on Facebook and search for Cookies by CJ, I'm guessing they'll come across
it. Yep,
and
they'll find that. And then I have my website, which is just www.cookiesbycj.com.
So cookiesbycj.com. Yeah. Okay. And if you go there, you're going to see some pictures of some of the mm-hmm. work that you've done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, they're amazing.
Thank you.
I just have to say, I've looked at some of these, you know, and I fancy myself kind of a hack. I enjoy it, but I'm a hack baker myself.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but it never comes out looking that great.
Well, thank you. it's
amazing.
Been fun. You get to work with a lot of really cool people and kind of help their visions for whatever event they're looking to have catered come to life.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't want to push it too hard because then you're going to get so much business. You're going to say, forget this radio stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
No.
Just curious in terms of now you and Ryan are both mm-hmm. in your young adult phase.
Yeah.
And just wondering as a young adult, if mm-hmm. you can speak a little bit to seeing that you had kind of a rebirth of faith through your own college experience and you became passionate about evangelization. Just wondering if you can leave us with a little bit of an idea for maybe for young adults directly. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you encourage them? How do you inspire them? What makes them sit up and take notice and want to move closer to Jesus?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's one of the areas of ministry and evangelization that I'm personally passionate about because I have experienced the fruit of that in my college years. I think it's really important that young adults get involved in a parish, to foster a sense of community within that parish, especially, young adults have community like Seek and Net Ministries and all those, you know, Focus and everything. But what happens when people leave college? It's like you need that community to foster your own faith. And luckily, I've been blessed with that. I know what that's like at St. Raphael's. I guess I just would really encourage people to seek out answers if you are unclear on teachings of the faith, because I think that's what holds a lot of people back is they either have the faith has been misrepresented to them or, you know, stuff that you hear through the media, which is incorrect, and all these assumptions about the faith that maybe turn people away. That's what I've experienced, not personally, but from people around me have told me that.
Yep.
So seeking out those answers for yourself, because the faith is just so beautiful. It's I give the Catholic faith and the Lord credit for who I am today, and I'm so grateful for my journey so far, leading me here.
I think it was the Venerable Fulton Sheen who said, not one in 100 people hates the Catholic Church.
Yeah. I love
but
that
they,
quote.
Yeah, but they hate what they perceive the Catholic Church to
exactly.
be. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
Exactly.
But yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think just to become more familiar with the core parts of our faith.
Right.
And community is one of those core parts. And we all need that.
Yep.
I mean, maybe we all need it in slightly different ways. But mm-hmm. certainly young adults, that's one of the things that I know draw people out and help them to get involved. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seek out. Young adults seek out your answers to the faith. At least check out church teaching in regards to some of the issues that you might find contentious and listen to Relevant Radio.
Luckily the Office of Evangelization has a lot of great stuff on their website.
Absolutely.
So check it out.
archspm.org/evangelization.
Yes,
wonderful.
Yes.
Well, Cammy, we've run out of time, but I'm so grateful for all the work that you do. I want to thank you personally for all the things that you do for us. And then just want to say God bless you in your entire life's journey, wherever the Lord leads.
Thank you. God bless you all, too.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Paul and I are with you to tell you more about events coming up to help you deepen your relationship with the Lord. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial.
Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
Love washed over a multitude of things. Love washed over a multitude of things.
So Paul, of course, is always our, as our technical producer, always sitting across the desk from me.
Yeah. And
Paul, have you done a Crucio?
I have.
Yeah.
I have. And as a matter of fact, Bishop Paul Dudley of happy memory was the priest on that
Crucio. There you go.
And he was the one who invited me to make one.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, what else we got going on, Paul?
Prayerfully consider attending an upcoming prayer and listening event as part of the Archdiocesan Pre-Synod process. Make your voice heard. The next two prayer and listening events are Tuesday, February 8th, 6 to 9, St. Stephen, Anoka, and Thursday, February 27th, 6 to 9, Our Lady of Grace in Edina. No registration required. For more information, go to archspm.org/synod.
Open Window Theater invites you to the world over, the regional premiere of playwright Keith Bunyan's unforgettable tale of adventure, love, loss, and redemption. Drawing on a vast array of influences from the Bible to the Odyssey to Shakespeare, the world over masterfully speaks to the original beauty and goodness of the human person. Play runs February 13th through March 15th at Open Window Theater in Invergrove Heights. For tickets, go to openwindowtheater.org. And Cammie, since you're here, take one.
Ladies, register today for the 6th Annual Wine Catholic Women's Conference at Our Lady of Grace in Edina on Saturday, February 22nd. The day features inspiring talks by Dr. Mary Healy and Dr. Carol Raza, praise and worship music by his own, and MC Sherry Brownrigg Kennedy. The day begins with Mass at 8:30 a.m. with Archbishop Hebda and includes shopping, personal time to pray with prayer teams, confession, adoration, tons of laughter, a fabulous lunch, chocolate, door prizes, and a fun raffle. Register soon as this event sells out early. Visit arise2020.eventbrite.com.
Nice work.
Yeah, thank you.
Right.
I'm a pro, right?
Have questions about annulments? Staff members of the Archdiocese and Metropolitan Tribunal will be available in the narthex at the Cathedral of St. Paul, Ash Wednesday, February 26th, 7:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. for confidential consultation and answer questions regarding the annulment process. No appointment necessary.
Are you looking to quiet your soul this Lent and enter more deeply into the heart of Jesus? Join us this Lent at St. Odilia in Shoreview for our Lenten Prayer of the Heart workshop to grow in your experience of prayer and to deepen your relationship with Jesus. The two sessions will be Monday, March 2nd with yours truly, Patrick Conley, and Monday, March 9th with Father Stephen Borello from the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. Evenings go from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Cost is $20 per person. Includes lecture, materials, large group Q&A, and a snack. Register online at archspm.org/event.
And men, save the date for the 2020 Archdiocesan Men's Conference, March 28th. Our keynote speaker, Reverend Paul Scalia, son of the late Justice Antonin Scalia from the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. Watch the events page at archspm.org for more information.
Coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, Kelsey Delaney is going to be with us, who will share about her journey of hope, grieving, and healing after advocating for life for her unborn son. Also, Dr. Paul Diekman on That Man Is You, a ministry that addresses the pressures and temptations that men face in our modern culture. And Daniel Quinnen from the Metropolitan Tribunal with lots of more info on annulments. That's what's coming up next time, folks. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.